So if you turn on the news this week, what's the one word you hear more than any other? Well done. You've all passed. Class dismissed. Ebola, and maybe the second word that you would hear after that would be what? Who said that? ISIS. You know, it's pretty interesting. We can get so inundated with all that's going on. I don't know about you, but I get tired of watching the news, quite frankly, because it will depress the fool out of you in a heartbeat. My dad actually will say, "You want to turn on the news so we can get depressed." There's a lot being said right now about Ebola, about ISIS, and there's so many other things, too. The interesting thing, and this is something that I think is pretty cool about our God and our Savior, is Jesus addressed this a long time ago. He addressed the issues that we face, that we hear about day in and day out. And here's what he said. Don't worry. Be happy. He didn't say that. Bobby McFerrin did. But he literally, so many years ago, was talking with his disciples and began to address some of the issues. And it carried down through time. And this is one of those places where I get really fascinated with the God that we serve, that these words that were written by Matthew, who was a tax collector, and people didn't like tax collectors, but Jesus called him as a disciple. And now he has one of the four Gospels, right? Pretty interesting to go from being a social outcast to being the writer of one of the four Gospels. And in this, in Matthew chapter 24, he records what Jesus said about situations like the ones that we're in right now. And only God could take that and bring it through time and bring it through so many different circumstances to where it's sitting right here in front of us in LJ, Georgia. I'm sure when Matthew wrote this, he thought, this is going to really impact those people at Crossroad, you know, thousands of years from now. No, but God can do that. You know why? Because he's God, right? And he's a whole lot bigger than we think he is. His ways are higher. And so as we're dealing with all this going on right now, with Ebola, with ISIS, with whatever, I want you to hear the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 and to really grasp the fact that he told us, don't worry. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.' Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" Let's stop right there just for a minute. Because they're showing him all these buildings, the temple and all that. And Jesus said, here's what you don't understand. This is all going to be turned upside down. This is going to be destroyed. And their question to him was, tell us when all this is going to happen. Because at this point, they're still looking at him as the one who's going to come in. He's the Messiah. And he's going to put everything back together. And really, the truth is, a lot of them, that's their motive. Is they've signed on for this thing because he is the Messiah. And they're expecting him to set up this massive kingdom. What they don't know is it's going to look a whole lot different than what they expected. What we don't know is oftentimes when we follow Jesus, it's going to look a whole lot different than what we expected. So they're asking him, when is this going to happen? When are you going to take over? Because that's what we're here for. You're the Messiah. You're the one that's going to change everything. You're the one that's going to bring everything together. And when's that going to happen? And in verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,'" or the Messiah, "and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Imagine asking the question that the disciples asked. Tell us when these things are going to happen, and this is the response you get. If I'm one of the disciples, I'm going, time out, wait, what, we're going to do what? What's going to happen to us? Because he said, there's going to be others that will come, they're going to try to deceive you, they're going to pretend to be me, they're not me, and you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars in the middle of all this stuff, here's what I need you to do. Don't worry. Be not troubled. There are several sins that we rarely confess in the church today. Pride's a big one. Worry is a huge one. I've known people, this is being recorded, so I'm not going to name names. I've known people that their spiritual gift is worry. Even though that's an oxymoron, because it's not a spiritual gift, it's a sin. I had a lady one time in a church that I pastored, and she was, neurotic on a good day. And I preached on worry, not this particular text, but I talked about worry. And she was mad as an old wet hen. Because she said, that's just what I do. I can't help but worry. My response to her was, that's like saying, I can't help but murder. Sin, sin, right? Either it is or it ain't. I mean, y'all tell me. I'm just a guy talking. You know. And yet we practice it, and I'm one. We practice it as if it's okay. As if it's okay to be constantly in fear and concerned. And when we watch Fox or CNN or whoever, and they're talking about these Ebola cases. And I mean, I just read one recently, yesterday. Two kids went to Uganda, came back here to North Georgia. And the school's like, uh-uh. The parents, you know, rallied and said, we don't want them around. And I understand, I guess. But by the same token, this whole thing is changing the way that we live and think and exist. And Jesus said stuff's going to happen. There's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilences. Hello. There's going to be all kinds of stuff that's going to happen. And in the middle of it, here's what I need you to do for me. Don't worry. And yet, most of the time, that's what we do. It's what I do. I know y'all don't, but I do. We worry, and we think that it's okay. And yet, by worrying, here's what we confess. That sounds good and all, Jesus, but no, I need to worry about this. I mean, that's really what we're saying to Him. We're saying that, yes, we believe in You. Yes, we will have T-shirts talking about You. We will sing songs about You. We will put a fish on our car to identify ourselves with You. But when it comes to trusting You, we need to worry about this. You're not big enough to take care of it. Did I just get invasive? Because I felt like I did to me. The reality is, we either believe what we claim to believe about Him or we don't. And when we look at the words of Him, and as if you and I were sitting there with these disciples and we're asking the questions, when are you going to take care of things? When are you going to set everything up and it's all going to be okay? And He said, here's what you need to know. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars. These things must come to pass. In other words, these things are going to happen. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning, hello, of sorrows. Jesus told us that He would be with us always, even to the end of the age. He told us we would have peace. Matter of fact, we read the verse in Philippians 4 this morning, to be anxious for nothing. And then it talked about the peace that passes all understanding. But understand the pretext for that. Be anxious for nothing. And then the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus gave us all kinds of promises, but He also gave us some facts. And in Matthew 24, the facts that He gave us was, ain't going to get better. Going to get worse. So in the midst of that, how do we live? How do we live in the context of knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, these things are going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. Now, historically, He was preparing the disciples for stuff they were going to go through. Matter of fact, if you keep going on, you got to love verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. At this point, I'm like, really? Because what they're asking Him is, when is all this going to be okay? When are you going to take over and reign as King and as Messiah? And His response to them is, no, here's how it's going to go down. They're going to persecute you. They're going to kill you. You're going to be offended, hated by all nations for My name's sake. People are going to start betraying one another and hating one another. Things are going to get bad. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? But don't miss what He says in the middle of it. I don't want you to worry. And as hard as that is to process and to understand, the reality is that no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, no matter what Ebola does or what ISIS does, number one, we know things are going to get worse. It's just going to happen. He said that. We can't pick and choose the words of Christ. You have to take the whole thing. And in the whole thing, He says, this is what's going to happen. It's going to get a little nasty. But in that process, don't worry. How is that possible? When you and I day to day worry about all kinds of stuff, because we do, tell the truth. And yet He says, don't. How can He say that? Here's my contention. The God of the universe, who spoke everything into existence, sent His only Son, took upon Himself flesh. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. If you weren't there, you should have been there, because it was pretty good. He took upon flesh to dwell among us, to understand us, to become one of us, and then to die for us. If anybody knows what it's like for things to get worse before they get better, it's Him. So when He says to us, it's going to get a little ugly. They're not going to like you. They're going to deliver you up. And the day will come, without reservation, where you and I will face similar things. You profess yourself as a follower of Christ, it's going to have consequences. I heard an interview some years back between a pastor in China and one of our leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention. And Dr. Draper, Jimmy Draper, is the one who was talking to this man. He said, you know, how can we pray for you in the, because they deal with a lot of persecution. How can we pray for you as the persecuted church? And this man's response was, you don't understand. We're praying for you that God would bring persecution so that it would purify your faith, so that you would understand what it is to be committed even to the point of death. Now, that'll bless you. I mean, I want people to pray for me, but there's some things that you can leave out, and that would be one of them. But do you hear the reality of that, though? Spiritually speaking, we become so comfortable and content with the day-to-day routine, and we get caught up in so much junk that stresses us out and that worries us and that freaks us out. And the whole time we're saying, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the whole time Jesus is going, if you're following Me, don't worry about this stuff. I've got you. Because here's the deal. even if Ebola made its way into Gilmer County and infected everybody in this room, those who know Christ and follow Christ, guess what? It's going to be okay. You may suffer, you may die. And by the way, statistically, let me give you something real quick. 1 out of 1 die. We're not going to escape it. It's going to happen. But in the context of all of this stuff going on, Jesus says, I don't want you to worry. And he's saying that to those who follow him and who know him. Because the reality is, this is all temporary. We forget that. I forget it, quite frankly. This is temporary. It's going to end. And when it ends, what matters is where I stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I can't stand before God unless I'm standing with Him who loved me and died for me. And I put my faith and trust in Him. So we can waste a lot of time freaking out and worrying and talking about all of this stuff that's going on when the whole time our Savior is saying to us, don't worry. In verse 12, he says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Cold, another word for cold, apathetic. Don't care. If somebody gives you you got a relative or a friend that wins the lottery. I mean, we don't play the lottery. Whatever. But for those who do, for those sinners who do, I'm just kidding. If somebody wins $2-3 million, comes to you and says, I tell you what, I'm going to give you $1 million of it. How do you respond? I recommend you respond quietly, because if you don't, every cousin, every neighbor, every friend you've ever had will now become your closest. Bottom line is, we would respond dramatically to something like that, to a gift like that. How do you respond to the one that says to you, I'm going to give you eternal life that far exceeds $1 million, $10 million, $20 million, trillions, go on and on? That should make us, and you have to know I'm preaching to me as much as I am you, maybe worse. I may respond to the invitation. That should make us so passionate and excited. You know, I mean, we would get, somebody said woohoo over here. I won't point anybody out, but somebody said woohoo about $1 million, and yet eternal life exceeds that, and it has no expiration date. And it's what we're offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he cautions us that that can grow cold, and it shouldn't. You and I have been given, those of us who follow Christ and believe in him, have been given a gift that never ends and that exceeds any monetary amount that you and I could even begin to fathom. And it goes on and on. So no matter what Ebola may bring or ISIS may bring, whatever, we're all going to die at some point, one day, somehow. It's just going to happen. You can't get around it. But when you do, through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have life eternal that never ends. So don't worry. It's okay. I know it's hard. It's one thing to say that. It's one thing to sing, and it's a whole other deal to bring it. But that's where faith comes in. Faith says, regardless of my circumstances, I'm going to act according to what God has said, not what I feel, not what I think, not what's going on around me, but what He has said. Because at the end of the day, these circumstances are going to change. All this is going to go away. And then there's Him. And that never ends. It's so easy to become familiar with the word eternal that we lose the reality and the impact and the power of it. That's what matters at the end of the day. It's not this stuff. It's what happens then. He says in verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. If you would, real quick, because I got to tell you, it's hard for me to preach knowing there's food back there. But there's still a few things I want to say. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, if you will. And Mike, I'm leaving you hanging back there on PowerPoint because I didn't really plan to do this earlier. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Because he said some other things concerning worry. In verse 25 of Matthew 6, he said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Those are the words of our Savior. Those are the words of the one who loves us and gave himself for us. They're worth listening to. They're worth applying, as hard as it is, and I know it is. I'm with you. But he says you get caught up in a bunch of stuff you shouldn't. You're worrying about things you got no business worrying about. He says, don't worry. I've got you. It's going to be okay. I've been in situations in my life, and so have you, where people have said, it's going to be okay. And in the back of your mind, you're going, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. But I'm telling you, when the Son of God, who died for you, that he might by his Holy Spirit live through you, says to you, don't worry, he means it. He's got us. It's going to be okay. Let me pray for you. Father, we confess that we do worry. It's one of those sins that we entertain and don't admit. We can point out every other sin that we don't do, but somebody else does, but it's hard for us to admit that we worry. And when we do, we confess that we don't trust you. Because if we did, we wouldn't worry about all this stuff. So, Lord, today, afresh and anew, number one, forgive us. Because we worry too much. Forgive us for trying to plan our lives out rather than just trusting you day in and day out to take care of us, to lead us and to use us, and most importantly, to love us in the midst of all this stuff. Forgive us when we try to make our plans and ask you to bless them rather than asking you what your plans are for us, knowing that they would already be blessed. Lord, today I pray for every person in this room, particularly those who don't have a relationship with you, because if they don't, they don't have this hope. They don't have the promises that you're going to take care of them. Because the reality is, one day, all of us will breathe our last breath. Our heart will beat for the last time. And all that matters in that moment is where we stand with you. So I pray for anybody in this room today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would understand He's the greatest need they have beyond anything else. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, God, you'd make it clear to them and you would draw them to yourself. And Lord, I pray for those of us who have lost the reality and the passion of being grateful to you and of knowing what it is to have eternal life. Knowing that no matter what the news says, no matter what happens to us, it's all okay. Because you've given us eternal life that will never end. You've given us something, God, that we can't even comprehend this side of heaven. There's no way. Only by faith can we remotely try to believe and understand what you have promised us. But God, when we get so caught up in this earthly stuff, we lose sight of that. So forgive us for doing that. I pray that you would restore our passion, that you would revive our hearts, that you would allow us to get rid of all this junk and once again be free in the reality that you've given us everything as it pertains to life and godliness. You've given all of it to us. You told us, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." So allow us to rejoice in our freedom today, Father, and to embrace that and to thank you for it and to praise you for it, because you've done more than we could ever begin to imagine. And there's so much in front of us that it's mind-blowing. Help us not to get caught up in the stuff, but instead to be caught up in the Savior who loved us and gave Himself for us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.